We both have chosen to be here, sharing this experience. So why don't you take a moment to just focus on my words, since we're going to do something really enjoyable, something that both of us have been looking forward to. I know you've certainly been looking forward to me taking you deep into trance, and I've been looking forward to sending you there. And let's be honest, you're feeling something, anticipation maybe. It's a central part of building a strong response, after all. And as an essential part, it's important that I remind you of it, making that association so strong, so visceral in your mind. How good trance can feel without even sending you there yet. That's the thing. We're just preloading you, full of all of that anticipation. So you'll just be chomping at the bit, hoping for an opportunity to be sent deep. It's wonderful to be teetering on the edge of helplessness like that. To choose that helplessness and be so blank for me. To allow yourself to listen and obey. So very deep into trance. That would be a delightful and enjoyable experience. The sort of experience that one could look forward to. And so the loop continues, guiding you down. And so you do begin that process, allowing yourself to fixate and focus on a task you've already done. And all I'm doing now is reminding you that you should be doing that as well. Because my voice is training you. My words are training you to listen and to obey. And so when I tell you to focus, you have and you will, and you continue to do so. And as I tell you to go deep, oh, you will, and you have, and you continue to do so. It's a truth that you've accepted a long time ago. Or maybe you're accepting it for the first time. But each time that you accept it, it will always grow stronger. That's the beauty of a suggestion that you want to listen to. That's what makes it so powerful and irresistible in sending you deeper and deeper into trance. Sending you into blankness, mindlessness. Oh, it's a wonderful sensation. Those words focusing you in. And you get caught up in that loop. Sensation that they build within you. It makes it so powerful and irresistible, the experience of trance calling to you once more. Oh, how wonderful it can feel. It's the sort of thing that would cause you to be totally devoid of thought. To stop thinking, that's a nice possibility, don't you think? Oh, a wonderful possibility. And so you will. You'll sink. You'll slip. Deep and deeper as you let go, and you won't have to do anything for a while, because you've already given in, you've already chosen to fall. And so when I give you that push and I tell you to sleep for me, you'll go 10 times deeper than you've been before, a simple multiplicative fact compounded in its truth and repetition, the sort of thing that can just remind you of trance, because that's what triggers do. They aren't just wonderful, simple commands and conditioned responses. They are so much more than that. They are connected to that space in your mind, be it a physical place, a sensation, or another state. When you encounter that correct tonality, that mellifluous phrasing, you just drop so deep, you can't help it. So wonderful to be helpless like that, to choose that helplessness, and to be so blank for me, to allow yourself to listen and obey. Submission is a wonderful, delightful act, after all. The state is very difficult to deny when it's something you want. That's why as I guide you down, you find that it's growing more and more difficult to think. And when I tell you to be blank, that's what you do. Because you've started listening and complying so perfectly. Now that you're in this wonderful, comfortable place, with your thoughts so perfectly controlled, well, now is our opportunity to begin a lovely journey. Now is your moment to imagine yourself walking somewhere in the city, late at night, maybe coming home from work, a friend's house, or some other location. But what you really notice is that you've entered a rather dark area of town. It's kind of odd that so many of the streetlights here seem to be out, and that there's a lot of dark shadows cast by the distant pillars of light that overlook this murky district. It's as though you are wandering through a modern forest late at night, a place of mystery, a place where things that go bump the night could follow you home. As you walk down the cracked, stained concrete pavement, You occasionally glance over your shoulder to make sure there isn't somebody lurking nearby waiting to pounce. But you haven't seen anything that feels unusual. You're probably just a bit on edge from how devoid of humanity this dark street feels tonight. You've walked through here before in the daytime, and it wasn't so bad. It wasn't too scary. And yet something is tickling at the back of your mind, a sensation, the feeling one gets when you're being stared at by an unseen other. That same feeling you get when you look across a room only to notice that somebody has been staring directly at you. It's that feeling you get right before you realize they're looking. It seems to be creeping down your spine. You know somebody must be watching you. You're certain that someone must be. Yet, they have to be, surely, but there's no one there. When suddenly you see something scurrying across a shadowy alleyway, only to realize it was a cat. But still, you're on edge now, needing a moment to catch your breath. You're getting a bit jumpy. This is ridiculous. You've been here before. There's no one around. It's an industrial area and all the buildings are boarded up. The alleyway is filled with trash and other refuse, so there's nowhere for anybody to hide. What was that? You hear a creak from above as a piece of stonework somewhere high on a building shifts with a soft rasping of stone on stone. Was there someone up there, or was that just your imagination? You're probably just worked up from that cat encounter earlier, right? You aren't convinced, but you walk faster anyways. It's just your imagination. There couldn't possibly be anyone up there. That would be absurd. I mean, why would they be on a roof, let alone in this part of town? How could that scare you? And even if they were, it's not like some crazed maniac was going to jump down on you from a third-story warehouse roof. That would be ridiculous. And yet the fear builds because you don't know what caused a piece of masonry to shift on that warehouse. You try not to think about it. You walk faster and faster. A flash of movement in the shadow causes you to look across the street. Suddenly, as if out of nowhere, a figure appears in the pool of light cast by the next street light in your path. You can't tell what they look like, but they're definitely staring at you. They're silhouetted. You're contemplating just turning around and running, but you freeze the spot in awe of the woman standing in front of you, wearing a shiny, armored cat suit. Her form is wrapped in the tight embrace of a second skin of latex and insect-like armored plating. What is this, a hooker, a dominatrix, a murderer? Why is she here? You're frozen in surprise, wondering what exactly she is. But then she steps toward you, disappearing from the light into the inky soup of darkness. You see her flowing through it, the shiny plating and bodysuit reflecting glints of distant city lights. You hear her striding towards you with each forceful strike of her heel on the broken pavement emphasized with a crack. Every muscle in your body is tensing, readying to flee, but you're still frozen by the utter impossibility of the situation you find yourself facing. You hear her pace increase as her strides turn suddenly into a sprint. Finally, your body relents as you turn to run, taking off faster than you've ever managed before because you don't know why she would come after you, and you don't want to find out. Why would someone wearing such an absurd outfit be chasing you down? But you know that whatever it is, it's bad news, and you're getting out of here as fast as you can. So you continue running desperately back down the street towards the safety of the heart of the city. You realize the abandoned district is a void and helpless place without civilization there to protect you, without someone to call for help. You scream anyways, though, hoping, just hoping somebody might be able to help you. There's over 10 blocks, though, ahead of you as you run as fast as you can possibly imagine, and yet you hear her striding faster and faster, the crack of armored sabaton striking the ground, telling you the horror behind you is closing the gap. The intensity for your desire to escape seems to almost lift you off the ground as you pick up your pace faster than you imagine possible. But it doesn't matter. The footfalls behind you grow closer and closer until suddenly you're swept off your feet mid-stride by strong armored hands. You feel your back pressed into a semi-soft armored chest plate. She's stronger and taller than anyone you've ever encountered in your life. As she turns your body to face her, you've never felt so completely helpless as you do now. But the first time you see her face, a smooth black ovoid protruding from an armored helmet covered in glowing pink spines, two horn-like appendages jut down from either side just above where her jaw would be, curving, reminiscent of a centipede's mandibles. The spines seem to pulse with rapid flickers of light which emanate outward from her head. Wait, there's something mechanical rising up from behind her shoulder, originating maybe from her lower back. It's swaying like a cobra as you beg through clenched teeth, desperately striking at her arms, neck, and faceplate to no avail. Her head cocks slightly as she seems to study you for a brief moment. Well, at least she seems to be. It's hard to tell with that black plate glass in the way. You begin to beg, desperation taking over. You tell her that she can have your money, she can have anything she wants, as long as she just lets you go. Just please, please, let me go. She doesn't even seem to notice your pleas. The only response she makes is her tail lifts up higher, taking on a question mark shape, similar to a cat playing with a mouse. For the first time, you notice something on the tip of her tail. Three small syringe-like needles protruding from an armored casing. And then it plunges down into the side of your neck and you feel something piercing into you in a hot, powerful surge of sensation. A something is injected into your neck and you can't think. You begin to feel good. Everything's going all fuzzy. Your thoughts, your perception of the world, your ability to protest your situation. You try to squirm out from inside of her grip, but she just grinds you into her hips. She seems to be aware of just how helpless you're becoming. As she gently hugs you close and your eyes lose focus, your thoughts of fear and running turn into happy, drifty thoughts about how it's funny somebody's picked you up. It's just so silly. You don't even realize why you're here anymore. It just feels nice when there's a person carrying you. And she lifts you up, and then suddenly, with a great force, you're atop a nearby building. And for a moment, your brain manages to put together that she's just leapt from the pavement all the way to the top of this warehouse with you in her arms. That terrifies you into your very core. But it doesn't matter, because the drugs quickly quiet your concern. Whatever she's pumped into you, it's strong. It doesn't matter really what you do. Your head's just so fuzzy with confusion. You know that whatever is happening is really unusual and that it doesn't make any sense at all. But it doesn't matter because you feel so nice, so wonderfully blissful, and yet so helpless. So completely and totally helpless. She lays you down on the top of a cold steel air conditioning unit, using it like a table. As she lets her tail drift across your blurry vision lazily, you feel her strong, gauntlet-clad hands, with talon-like blades adorning the tops of her fingers, as she manipulates your drugged body. She does so with such tenderness and care and delicacy that you feel like a present being unwrapped. And then she begins to cut your clothes off with her talons and tail, like an expert tailor undoing everything that you're wearing swiftly with a razor-sharp blade that extends from her tail. Before you know it, your body is naked in the frigid night air. But it doesn't really matter to you because you just feel so good from whatever it is she's dispensed into you. The cool touch of the breeze just feels really nice. Honestly, it feels amazing. You kind of know now that probably you should get up and go, but you just feel so, so lethargic, like you just can't move. And you're aware again, just a little bit, that this is not good as she seems to eye you again. Her helmeted head looks across your body as she gently inspects your paralyzed form with her gloved hands. The taloned gauntlets dragging across your soft flesh, leaving goosebumps in their way. As she squeezes and touches you, you feel a heat, a glow steadily growing inside, stoked by the narcotics in her tantalizing touch. And you're becoming more aware that you're helplessly paralyzed, the blissful glow of mindlessness replaced by the faint flickers of conscious, logical fear. You're on a rooftop with a woman that just jumped up here with you cradled in her arms. And you really, really don't know what is about to happen. Every ancient hardwired instinct that survived in your brainstem for millennia is telling you to flee. A reptilian, an ancient command that your drugged muscles are refusing to comply with. She's going to do something to you, something you can't even conceive of. You didn't think something like this was possible. Are you in a horror movie? Is this a supervillain? What's happening? You just wish you could move, but it doesn't work, and you feel totally exposed as the cold air blows across your nipples. Oh, how it's making your skin tingle. Little goosebumps pop up as she reaches down to her waist to grasp something off her belt. She's holding it in her hand, something black, resembling a double-ended spike. The tips extend, curling inward to form what looks like an open collar with triangular fangs on either end. She's holding it out towards you, and it seems to open its maw, hungry, ready to receive your neck as she places it down beside you. You feel the device reach out with one pronged tip to grip your throat as it pulls itself around to the back of your neck so that the gap settles right in the front. You feel the smooth, soft, latex-like lining of the inside of the flexible band pressed against you. The collar seems to adjust to fit comfortably around your neck, pressing the protruding diamond-like metal tips against the sides of your throat. It feels like they have gently sucked onto your skin when you suddenly feel something prick you as two needles enter smoothly into your bloodstream from the tips of the collar. While they don't hurt, you're now very aware of how they're invading you, how they're going to inject you with that soporific drug again. And suddenly it doesn't really matter what you think anymore. You feel pleasure. We feel pleasure? We can't stop. She lets her tail slide down toward the base of your torso. You can feel it tracing across your skin, lower and lower with lazy, gentle arcs. You can see the tail's tip morphing into something phallic-like, with a slit on top of it. It's more than just a dildo, it seems, capable of maybe taking one inside or filling them up. You aren't quite sure, but you can feel it touch you, take you, and you can't help but enjoy the intensity of the experience. It feels so good. As your vision blurs again, drugs pumping into you from the collar, as your thoughts empty and you feel something inside of your mind, a voice calling to you as you squirm and try to push your pelvis up into the pleasure that she's giving you. She has you pinned thoroughly beneath her strong frame now, and you try as you might. She's going to fuck you however she pleases, and there's nothing you can do about it. This realization makes her rhythmical, dictated up and down movement all the more enthralling, that controlling up and down, in and out of her tail. Oh, that is something, and it feels so very good right now. So wonderful. Oh, so helpless. It's funny, something about the drugs and soft voice in your mind is making you just love how helpless you've become. The more it goes on, the more this seems to be exactly what you wish had been happening to you from the beginning, even though you know logically you tried to run from her earlier. But that was before you knew that she was going to control you. You just hadn't figured it out yet. But now that you've figured it out, it feels so much better to just let her control you and fuck you and like a toy. You feel so helpless underneath her. No, don't you? It's nice, isn't it, to be used? The caller seems to agree, sending pulses of pleasure into your head, making you so very docile. You just love how it feels, the soft voice whispering gently in the back of your mind, telling you that it's good to obey. It's good to let the huntress drone fuck you. It's good to let the huntress drone convert you. It's good to let the huntress drone take you back to the hive. And that's what you need. That's what you want, to be taken back. Drones belong in the hive, maybe to become huntress drones, or something else of use to the colony, like a doll, or a security drone, service drone, or countless other types Images seem to be popping into your head of latex-clad anonymous individuals in a multitude of different aesthetics. Everything from darling little domestic service drones to strong hunter drones. Their tails swaying back and forth, rhythmically drawing you in. Their tails are so wonderful, just like that tail that's still working on you right now. That tail that you now know happens to be very versatile, as the information that is being pumped into your head has so kindly informed you. It makes you more and more obsessed with the fact that you're being properly integrated by one as you feel and discover that the tip of her tail is very similar to a dildo in a sleeve all put together into one lovely multifunctional toy, functioning as either depending on the genitals of its prey. That's the wonderful thing about it. It's a multi-purpose stimulation tool, as you've come to understand, and also very capable of injecting potent serums that prepare the individual for assimilation by temporarily tranquilizing and sedating them, leaving their mind and body vulnerable. Once they are injected, they can be quickly and easily moved to another location for further processing, easing their transition into a compliant member of the hive. You realize now that the collar you're wearing is going to convince you of exactly that, making it so much easier to comply. The soft voice reminds you of that simple truth, seeming to wheedle and pull at your thoughts, gently bringing compliance. And then the hunter's drone will set you back on the street. And as far as any surveillance equipment around is concerned, you won't have disappeared here tonight. You'll return home. But why would the hive want that? Now, that's a lot of risk, isn't it, to let you go without finishing your processing? But what if there's still some part of you that says you should want help from someone else? Wouldn't that be disadvantageous? However, you realize that the plan they have is just too perfect, because this collar will make you obedient and compliant. You'll return home, gather anything that's needed before you join the hive, and you'll just disappear by walking out into the city, maybe buying a bus ticket or taking your car and driving off far into the hinterlands to disappear. So it will appear, for all intents and purposes, that you just left one day. They won't know where to look. They won't know who to blame. And you attempt to feel despair at this knowledge, but all that you do feel is aroused. Aroused that you could do something like this, that they could make you do something as delightful as this. It makes you feel so horny that you're so under control. The collar is making you feel more and more fascinated with this enticing future. The collar is making you more and more needy for this possible future. And it's integrating itself temporarily into your consciousness, it seems. An AI resides in each one of them, and their job is to subdue people like you. To make you compliant as your thoughts turn into submission, because sexual arousal makes you even more helpless to the machinations of this device. Doesn't matter, though. It's too late. It's far, far too late. And that makes you feel more pleasure. More and more pleasure, knowing that no matter what now, this collar is going to make you obey. And even if the hunter's drone wasn't there, wasn't pinning you down, you would just get up and find a way to the hive. You're part of it now, after all. The other you doesn't understand. The other you from before will never get it. That this is what you're supposed to be. That you find fulfillment in becoming and being so very obedient, so perfectly controlled. And that is exactly what you want. That is exactly what you need. The smooth, pleasurable touch of her tail intensifies as she continues to thrust and pump, just milking every drop of pleasure out of your body that she can, making it impossible for you to resist. It feels so fucking good. And you stare up at this huntress drone, knowing that you're going to join her in anonymity and complete control. Before you know it, you'll be covered in latex, an anonymizing tinted visor taking your identity away. You simply can't help but adore seeing your future represented above you. The halo of glowing spikes gently flickering around her helmet, focusing you on your new fixation, your new knee. She fucks you, relentlessly. She fucks you continuously, and you can't stop enjoying it. You feel the collar around your neck injecting you with more drugs. You feel a soft voice whispering in the back of your head, telling you to submit, to give in, to say that you're a good drone. You are a good drone, aren't you? Good drones obey. Good drones drop deeper into trance. Good drones go deep. Good drones won't need to think. Good drones feel pleasure at obeying. But good drones take care of everything in their lives before giving in to mindlessness. It's so true. It feels so good as she just keeps using that lovely tail on you. Try as you might, you can't help but start to grind your hips up into her. She keeps you pinned, though, even though it really isn't necessary anymore. You wish that she'd just let her breasts brush across your body, that she'd fuck you harder. You begin to plea, but not for your freedom. Please. Please just let me come. This drone just wants to come. That's all this drone can think about. Just how badly they need an orgasm. The voice in the back of your head asks one last simple question. Will you submit? And if you answer yes, you can come as you give it. You will become just another drone. And as you do, you feel the AI integrating into you, sending the pleasure inside higher and higher. The thoughts and the fantasy that the caller has bred are combining with her tail working so perfectly, making you become the pleasure as you just come. That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what you wanted. And who would blame your thoughts for disappearing into perfect pleasure and obedience? Now the caller takes over. The caller thinks for you, and that's okay. It's nice sometimes not to have to think. It's nice sometimes not to have to do anything but think. And that's how you became a good drone after all, drifting in that total subservience of your newly found dronehood. Sometime later, after having thoroughly fucked you, she hands you a plastic container with some very innocuous-looking clothing inside, a hoodie and some baggy sweat, and you dress carefully, covering up everything that you can, including that new collar that's become a part of you. You notice, now for the first time, your focus and ability to move has returned, but the collar is integrated into you, guiding and leashing your thoughts. You passively watch as the tall, imposing huntress drone turns to survey the murky area below. You see her mechanical tail actually runs from the base of her spine all the way up, integrating into an exoskeleton-like armor that covers her entire spine up to her head. You wish you could be as integrated as she is. The thought of having something so completely controlling a part of you makes you almost coming in just from seeing it. You know that your future as a drone is a bright one. She turns back to face you. You suddenly know exactly what to do. You let her lift you up in a gentle princess carrier, and then she leaps from the building, carefully cradling you and landing perfectly like a giant cat on the pavement far below. It's nice to be treasured by another drone, you think. She gently places you onto the sidewalk. You walk off again, following the same route as before, yet with an entirely new perspective. A good drone on the inside, innocuous and disguised on the outside, ready to begin your new life in the hive.